You know what? We're starting the show now.
5 years or so to perfect it.
This is how our Twilight Zone show starts. What is with the sleeveless look?
Well, I mean, he knows. He's not bad. He's playing it.
He's okay at guitar.
Yeah, I mean, he can play. I can't
do that. Clearly, the guitar work is not the issue with him. It's literally everything else.
It's the inhuman side of him.
The inhuman and the I am everything.
Right.
He's Japanese, Jamaican, and Hawaiian. He's
from Michigan.
Yeah, he's from 45 minutes away from where I grew up.
So that was the backstory to Steven Seagal is apparently it was an inside joke between Michael Ovitz and a bunch of these high-end agents in the 80s. And they basically did a bet. They said, I bet you I can make a star out of anybody. He doesn't, with no talent, with no charisma, with no anything that a movie star needs, I bet you I can make a movie star. And they said, okay, let's find out. And then Steven Seagal is what they brought into the world.
Bowfinger.
Because Steven Seagal was Michael Ovitz's trainer. And Michael Ovitz was like, this is the guy. And guess what? I mean, he did it. He pulled it off.
Yeah, man, he's made a lot of fucking money. But at what cost is what I ask.
Society has paid the price ever since.
We've been paying for that bet ever since.
And I can just knock you down with my power. Because now all he does is he gets guys that are 3 feet tall to attack him. He just takes their wrist and throws them across the room.
That's all he did in movies.
I've heard he's like kind of an asshole. Like he hurts stuntmen on purpose. Like he's kind of a prick and nobody likes him because he's dangerous.
It's not hard to hurt a stuntman because they're not supposed to fight back.
Well, that's the thing, exactly. Like, I think he threw some guy through a plate glass window, and he wasn't supposed to, and, like, he cut himself. Like, it was very bad. Like, this guy almost lost his life over it. Something like that. There's some story about that. I didn't get a clarification. Hey. I think there was a rumor of him, like, hurting a stunt guy to the point where, like, it could have killed him, and they, like, this guy, I don't want to work with this guy ever again.
At least they got the AFI's top 100 movies on deadly ground out of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's worth it.
Out for justice, marked for death, Glimmer Man, need I say more?
Marm for drat, as I call it. I told a friend wore a Steven Seagal Mark for Death shirt to school in high school, and they're like, that's offensive. You got to cover it up. So he covered up with duct tape and wrote Marm for drat on it.
Wow.
And he wore it the rest of the day.
That's hilarious.
Oh, let's get to this episode, though, shall we?
The man in the bottle.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. That's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Dark Territory.
Bordering in Wonderland, the Twilight Zone review.
Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, gentle and infinitely patient people, whose lives have been a hope chest with a rusty lock and a lost set of keys. But in just a moment, that hope chest will be opened, and an improbable phantom will try to bedeck the drabness of these two people's failure-laden lives with the gold and precious stones of fulfillment. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Castle, standing on the outskirts and about to enter the Twilight Zone.
Could he not be there on set?
He was there. That's them.
No.
You think that's them?
No, they're not moving at all.
They're you shut up and be still back there, goddamn.
Yeah. Hello, citizens. Welcome to LAW's episode 467, TZ59202, The Man in the Bottle Redux, Phoenix West.
Dick Diggat.
Hi, Dick. First time?
When no, I've seen this before.
Okay, I assumed as much.
This one has my favorite bit, though.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm the bunker. I'm Hitler. I'm a girl.
Yeah, it's one of the clips we have.
Yep,
saved.
Great clip. Fantastic.
Why don't you?
Nope, wrong one.
Not wrong.
Wrong
one.
Hitler. Sorry.
That's much meaner now.
Oh, no, sorry. Wrong Hitler.
No, wrong Hitler.
This one.
Edward Dumpy can't be voted out of office. I'm Hitler. I'm in a bunker. It's the end of the war.
You know, he could have just, you know, kept that persona and he would have just went to Argentina.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. I guess that's what they say happened. He didn't kill himself. He just left the country and died in Argentina in like 1975 or something.
Yeah. I mean,
apparently.
Why kill yourself? What are you going to make it look like you killed yourself?
Exactly. The conspiracy theories.
It's
yeah?
Die Hard 3. What's exactly. better than blowing yourself up with $500 million worth of gold? People thinking he did.
I know the family.
Know the man. Know the family. Yeah, exactly. Really? It's anyway. No, we're not here to discuss Hitler.
No.
Did you like my Hitler bit with all the clips I have of Hitler?
That was good. Who are you?
Show yourself.
Dennis Hopper. Oh, by the way, Dennis Hopper comes in later in our tonight. Dennis Hopper connection. He was the original. He was supposed to be the prank.
Hey, don't ruin it.
Oh.
We'll talk about. That's a different show.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going into the future. It's a different show. I'm Hitler.
Hello.
I can't be able to the bar. No, but this one is one of those.
It's a classic.
I do like this episode. I like this episode.
Yeah.
This is basically. I don't know if this is one of the first, like, portrayals of the genie where the wish is always a trap.
Yeah.
Like, it's always like, especially the joke when he goes, "I wish for $1 million," and they get $1 million. And they give all the money away, and then the IRS shows up, and the IRS guy says, "You owe us $935,000. Good day." And then he counts the money, and that's all the money they have left. It's that much money that they give to the IRS.
Because apparently, back in the day, there's a 90% tax bracket.
Apparently.
Because they also mentioned that in our next episode of Dream of Genie. He goes, "No, if I ask for that much, I'll be the 90% tax." I'm like, that's a fucking thing? What are they, the who?
Shit. If Christ. That's the case, how do you make any money in this world?
Yeah.
Well, you have write-offs. Maybe that's what it was. They should have written off all those, if you're getting into like the technicality of this, all the gifts they gave, they could have wrote that off and told the fucking IRS guy that.
Why did they, what narc in their camp here that shows up at their shitty fucking pawn shop / trinket venue, who showed up and called the IRS and was like, "Hey, they're giving away a bunch of fucking money. It's weird. You should definitely go down there and tax them. I'm a piece of shit."
It's because they're always watching.
What the fuck? Like, he shows up like he's in the CIA.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He slinks in here and they're dancing, having fun. He's like, anyway, you guys are fun. Anyway, here's a ticket for most of that money.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they don't count.
All right. I didn't really time this out.
Good bit. You're all excited, and then they're like,
"What does that
minute.
Figure that mean?"
$1 million, Mr. Castle, taxed on the basis of husband and wife using the standard deductions. You owe the government approximately $907,000.
What?
Yes, that's correct. Then, in addition, there's a state income tax involved, which, using thumb rule, the whole thing comes to a total of, roughly, mind you, $942,640.
That's insane.
Well, welcome to America.
Can you imagine being taxed that much?
Yes.
90%?
It's awful.
No.
My life... No, that's why you gotta be a drug seller.
Yeah, don't fucking claim anything. Fuck the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's the reason why, what was James Bond?
The second... You're getting audited when they hear this.
Yeah. No, I pay my taxes.
They're coming for you!
Because there's no 90% tax bracket anymore.
How much is that Twilight Zone bobblehead doll you got back there? Where'd you get that money for that, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Look at all those comics right there. That's money. Those were gifts.
Those are gifts.
They were gifts, asshole.
Yeah. Well, you got to pay taxes on gifts if there's monetary value to it. Oh, fuck you.
Actually, those fuckers.
Roger, James Bond. What the fuck is his last name? I'm going to blink on this.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. There's a reason he left England and moved to a different country. Yeah. Because this is exactly why, because England was charging him like 90 something percent on every dollar he made. And so he's like, fuck this.
I'm leaving this state.
I don't blame him. It's the reason why athletes like to play in Florida, because there's no state tax.
Yeah. Then they forget that their house cost $10,000 or $150,000 just to run their house.
Hey,
a mansion that big, it costs $100,000 just in utilities alone to run the air conditioner.
Saves them money. I mean, when your paycheck is $36 million a year, yeah, it's cheaper to live in Florida than
yeah, well, shit, got Holyfield. Holyfield, when like he made his big money, he bought like this $100 million mansion, but he didn't realize that when he had to pay taxes on it and property taxes yearly, and the utilities were like $500,000 a year just to keep it running.
The hell state was this in?
Oh, probably California.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Vegas, maybe. Vegas. Las Vegas. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, fuck that.
But yeah, I think this is the first time we ever see the IRS come into the play in a wish scenario.
That it makes it fun.
It is.
And
funny,
it is kind of like everything's played as a joke in this episode. This is a comedy episode. It's just very
low
key. It's not like because he turns into fucking Hitler. It's not a serious episode. Literally turns into Hitler.
I'm Hitler.
Before it's the end of the war, it's the end of the war. I'm Hitler. Oh,
and
no.
This happens to actually a very nice couple because they show at the beginning of the episode. Like,
yeah, they're
this
in
poor
love.
Old woman. Well, yeah, and this poor old woman who comes to the store.
Miss Gumley.
She's like, I have nothing. I need money to pay things. And I have this heirloom. And she brings the bottle. And she goes, this heirloom, it's a very rare, you know, bottle from some ancient place in Eastern Europe. He goes, okay, well, here, I'll give you a dollar for it. Oh, he starts crying.
He hits the no sale button. Yeah, everything's played for yucks because he hits the no sale button and then his wife comes downstairs and he puts his arm over it to hide
it. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, yeah, it's like a sitcom.
But he's a good man. Like, he's trying to help out this old lady, this bitch who's trying to fucking take advantage of this poor guy.
I never realized her creepy eyes, her creepy soulless eyes until this watch through.
Yeah. How many people did you poison in your lifetime, fucking bitch?
Yeah, it's a family heirloom because we take out, like, state senators and then dukes of different countries throughout.
But then she has the gall to say as she's leaving the store with a dollar in her hand, oh, by the way, I found it in a trash can. Fuck you. And she leaves.
The guilt got to her.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I lied. And he goes, yeah, no kidding, you lied. Look at your eyes.
He's like, I know. I don't care. Whatever, bitch.
You're a steely, cold, old bitch. You'll be dead in a year.
Yeah. He basically gave her a dollar to go fuck off and die.
And I'll dance on your grave.
Go die a little faster with this dollar. Go shoot it up. Whatever you got to do with this, Miss Grumley.
And then she has the gall to come back and give her like $60,000 cash.
Yeah, the bitch comes back and they still give another handout. And he kisses her.
Yeah, he does kiss her. She's, oh, we gave all our
money. Quite a bit of rain for this time of the year.
God, look at her. She's such a bitch.
Oh, she's conniving. She's something evil about her.
She looks like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, I think so.
And his wife is like, come on, Arthur, whatever his name is. It is Arthur, right?
Why do you help these old fucks?
And then he knocks over the bottle, and it breaks, and out comes the genie. And it's the guy that does the voice of the cannabis, that guy.
Oh, he's a character. He's been in a lot of stuff, this guy.
Joseph Ruskin.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
He was murdered by... No, I'm kidding.
No.
He died in 1889.
Awful Twilight Zone trivia.
I think Patrick mostly know him from this and laying in a bed and smoking aces because he's the guy who plays Primo Sparaza.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that. That's hilarious. Yeah. Wow.
And Ryan Reynolds shoots the shit out of him at the end.
Yes.
But he does have a voice, though. It's super interesting.
Yeah, he's good. He looks like he's from Egypt. He could have been the mummy in The Mummy Returns. You know, what if he's related to Arnold Vosloo?
You know what's fucking funny, though, Dick? What you just said? Guess what movie series he's in? The Scorpion King.
Is he really?
Yes.
Holy shit. He looks like a Scorpion King.
Yeah, he's in The Scorpion King, the original. The last thing he's in was Bones, right after Smoking Aces. Who knows what film first.
How old was he when he died? Is he still alive or he's dead?
89.
89 years old. Okay, well, that's a good run.
He died in 2013.
So wow.
He lived a while after those two things. Those were like 2006, 2007, something like that.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Kudos good. To him. He's good. I like him. I like him in this episode. He's not the problem with the episode.
No.
It's just the problem with the episode for me is it's another fucking genie one. I got it.
But like I said, this is the first time it's the trickery. It's the genie. But the wish isn't what you think it is. It's always it's like it's the monkey's paw. concept where, like, you know, you wish for something and it ends up being a fractured wish, or, you know, there's a caveat to it. Like, you can't just wish for something. Like, at the end, when I wish I never had this wish, or I wish I never had this, yeah. And then they fix the case, and of course he cleans up the broken ball, and then he hits the case to break, and all the
got to go back to the OG.
Crap. Yeah.
He's got to go back to the original, how it was before everything. I always forget this episode goes to Hitler.
Yeah.
When I'm watching it, I'm like,
"Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah, it goes to Hitler right here. Oh shit, I forgot."
Hello.
Like, because it just seems so out of place in this episode, but it's funny every time.
It is funny. It is.
I'm Hitler. Like,
what an asshole the genie is. It's like, God damn it, just give me a fucking wish that works here. Jesus.
But at least this couple is smart enough to go, we're gonna back out of this. Fuck this.
Yeah, this is never gonna end well, is it?
No.
No,
because they're not greedy. Like, they,
yeah.
In reality, what happened? I don't know if because they wish they never met the genie. Is that what he wishes? I'm trying to think.
I said something like, "I wish, we were. I wish I can't remember what it was. Like, something like, I wish we never had this."
The wording matters, because that's when I hear this.
I wish I were back where it all started.
Okay, so that's not technically saying I wish this didn't happen.
Right.
So does the money he paid out, does that still exist? Like, did Miss Grumley still get her unearned 60 grand or whatever?
Well, see, there you go. Yeah, that's the question. Is that, yeah. Because if that's the case, I'm going to tell all these assholes, hey, come buy some shit from our store. We got a lot of fucking cash.
Oh, no.
Come buy some heirlooms.
It must not have happened, because it starts where he drops the lamp and it breaks instead of just falling over.
But he fixed the case, though.
Yes, but then it breaks. So that was just kind of offsetting the one change.
So I guess, yeah.
So now they're back to where he is. So he didn't say, I want to immediately go back to where this all started. So
the old woman gave $1 or $2, goes back to her apartment, and freezes to death because she can't pay for the heat.
Yeah. Or this could have been really sinister. The genie could have been a real dick and then brought him back to, like, the Big Bang.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, here you go. So where's it started? Have fun. He's just like,
bye!
Floating around in space.
Ah! Blows up.
Doing the Arnold thing. Yeah, it's...
You said where it all started in June.
And then it ends, and that's the episode.
I'm the man in the bottle.
Yeah.
The man in the bottle.
That gets beat. All right.
Is that the one about his dad in Vietnam?
No, it's Rooster.
That's Rooster, that's right. Here come the rooster. Ah, heroin.
I just went back because the anniversary of his death just passed again. And I was reading about it, and it was like, it's even sadder when you read about it now. Because how long he was. No, he was in his house, but I forgot how long he was dead before they found him. He was like, just like nothing left.
The dogs got me. My Pomeranian attacked me in my death. They ate me.
Is he Elvis? What was
nothing
the accent?
Was nothing was left, man. Oh, did you hear that story? Speaking of animals, I forgot. I won't talk about it. Never mind. I'm not gonna bring it up. Let's just wrap this episode up.
Well, first, we gotta play a Chinga Chavin song.
Oh yes, yes, Steven Seagal.
No, Chinga Chavin.
Oh, country porn.
Yeah. This one's called "Cum Stains on My Pillow."
Fantastic.
And they played this one in the documentary.
Okay.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, I can hear it.
I have a pillow.
When you left, I thought that finding love would be an easy thing. I tried to tighten up my act and give the broads a fling. I guess I lost balls to find me another piece of tail. It was an empty
1976
room down in San Antonio, marks the end of a lonely trail. And there's cum stains on the pillow where your head used to be. The sad remains of making love to your faded memory.
Wow.
Well, all night long,
poetic.
You start with me in soap box fantasy. I'm making cum stains on my pillow where your sweet head used to be.
All right, that's enough of that.
Now they got more than one album, huh?
I don't know. I only saw this one.
But how many multi-platinum albums do they have?
You want to see the price on Amazon for the CD?
Oh, my God. Please. Wow. $90.
$90. That's wow. Used. That's a used copy, too. Look at this.
That's crazy. That it's probably something. Him. He's selling on Amazon because he has a bunch of unsold ones in his trunk or in his back of his pickup. Oh, selling online for $90 a piece. They're worth it.
It's funny because he's not like a Southern guy at all.
No.
He in the documentary, he gets a job from the main guy, the killer, and he goes to, like, work in New York, like, high-up job. He's got, like, clean cut. Like, he looks like American Psycho. Because this is back in the 80s. And, yeah, it's a fascinating life, this guy.
So this guy is the country porn singer, and he also is the Jinx?
Yeah.
He's a murderer?
No, he was friends with the murderer. Oh. But he turned on him and went to the court when they went to court.
Turned on my friend who was yeah. a killer.
I put cum stains on his back by some prisoners.
Now he's chugging lots of semen in the cell.
In the slammer.
In the slammer. Slamming his ass in the slammer.
He puts the slam in slammer.
He puts the lotion on the basket.
He gets the hose again. All right. Let's hear the outro and get out of here. I give this one a 6. It sounds like you're going to go a 7.
Oh, no, 6 is good.
Okay.
6 is about where it belongs. Yeah.
It has a 7.4 with 3,100.
Wow. Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even argue 7. Honestly,
yeah,
but for me, I don't give a shit about genie episodes or wishes. So
the next one, I really don't care about.
Well, the next one will be the next one, and we will discuss that on the next one.
Come on my pillow.
Left cum stains.
A word
in
to the
trash
wise now to the garbage
with my genie. Oh, I want to show this amazing. Special effects they did on this.
Right, yes. Very well done, yes.
Can't imagine how they did this.
The curio seekers, to the antique buffs, to everyone who would try to coax out a miracle from unlikely places. Check that bottle you're taking back for a 2-cent deposit. The genie you save might be
your
own.
I like that they cut the frame or two out where something jabs it or shoots it.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Case in point,
put the bottle up your ass.
Fresh from the briefest of trips into the Twilight Zone.
Until next time. And in the meantime, I'm Phoenix West.
Da-da.
So long, citizens. Bye.